Blog Talk Radio.
Unhooked, and so I couldn't hear if anybody was saying anything.
But we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. It's been a busy past couple of days for me. When I get into programming, it becomes all-consuming. Time and what have you, and time just flies by because I'm so concentrated on what I'm doing and trying to figure out what I'm doing. It's been such a long time since I've done any programming, and the software that I am using, I think I bought this software probably 7 or 8 years ago, and when I was teaching, maybe longer, I have to think about it, because I wanted to offer my own testing databases and things like that for my students. And at the time, I was working for a company that everything was just done manually. You know, everything was done, you know, pencil and paper. And I was like, no, that's not going to work for me, you know, forever. So I looked around, I found a script, and then I started modifying it. But then I didn't understand the technology, so I paid the guys to modify it for me. Spent a little bit of money on it, and then, you know, I just got to the point where I didn't want to spend any more money on it. But, you know, it was my script, I paid for it. And so I went in and start, you know, learning how to operate and run the script and to modify it. But I hadn't used it in about 5 or 6 years. And so I was trying to get it, you know, reinstalled again and working and, you know, trying to remember, you know, how did things work and that kind of stuff. So the past couple of days I've been working on it and, you know, just getting it where, because I'm running a lot of things from, right now I don't have the one server actually up, and that's the one that we're using for the meeting site. I would have to bring up a whole separate server for, you know, this testing site. So what I did was for the website and for, you know, for the church and this testing site, I'm running them from my desktop. And so, you know, you can make your computer act like more than one computer through virtual machines. And so it's like I'm running three computers off of one. But that, you know, presented some problems because it just does. I won't get into all the technicalities. Anyway, I was spending the last couple of days getting that to work, finally got it to where I could actually log into the software and mess around. So I have to start building the test databases. And I won't, you know, introduce you guys to it until I have some tests actually out there that, you know, that I'm going to tie it to the newcomers class first. So I may do some trivia questions first, you know, something that I can put out there quick, and you know, so that you can play around with it. Maybe I'll get 500 or so questions out there, and then maybe let the system just generate test or, you know, quiz within like 10 or 15 questions, increments, random, you know, random questions. That way, every time you take a test, it'll be different for that, you know, because it's just trivia. So maybe I'll do that. But that's what I've been working on the past couple of days. I know I promised you guys that I would put some tests on the newcomers class, and I said, you know, it was time that I actually sat down and hit it, you know, but I know that once I start that, it becomes all consuming. And so I was just sort of submerged in it. I'm happy with the progress I've made so far. But, you know, we'll see. I'll go through and I still got to play with some things to make sure that I can remember or understand how it's working so that if something happens, then I'm able to correct it. That's the only thing about when you are doing your own hosting and you're, you know, writing your own programs, is when it breaks, you got to fix it. Can't really count on somebody else to do it. So pray for me. Hopefully, you know, by next weekend, I will have something out there for you guys to, you know, you'll just go register on it, and then just play around. You know, anytime you feel like you want to test yourself on, let's say, Bible trivia or whatever, this will do it. But I'm going to actually tie it to, for official reasons, tie it to the laity for the newcomers class, and then I want to develop a module for ministers for licensing, so that, you know, I can, I'll probably have to do the courseware too, but I'm not going to worry about the courseware yet, where it provides the online licensing for ministers of Yah's Global Kingdom ministry. So that the testing and all that kind of stuff be done online. It'd be a lot different than what is going to be done for the laity. That'll be coming. But that has always been a goal as well, because we are, because of the type of organization that we are. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. I hope everybody is doing well today. I just been busy. I got to start. My desk is a mess. I got to start cleaning it off and get myself organized, and get back on, you know, the stuff that we're doing, land wise and glamping wise and that kind of stuff. I've been feeling kind of scatterbrained, but you know, you have to force yourself to get organized. And so that's what I got to do with myself. But I needed something. Programming for me is something that I can do and be all into it, and I enjoy doing it. I enjoy solving the problems and making stuff work. And it's a lot of different technologies that it uses, you know, in order to work. And so it's definitely a challenge. But it also kind of relaxes me, if that makes sense. It's just something that I can get into, and it's kind of self-absorbing. Anyway, happy Sabbath to everyone. Let me look and see when New Moon is for November. I need to put out that schedule for the coming year. Look that up real quick. Okay, the new moon for November is the 23rd of November. So we will be doing new moon service on the 22nd of November. And that is on a Tuesday. So it'll take the place of the newcomers class that evening. So 23rd of November is the new moon, but we know that day starts in the evening, so it'll be the evening of the 22nd for the new moon service for November. And it's, you know, the new moon services are what we have until April or May. We don't have any other feast days that we celebrate. We don't celebrate what is the equivalent of Christmas in the, under the Jewish tradition, Hanukkah. We don't celebrate that. And so that is, you know, something that they did to try to give their people something to do during the quote-unquote Christmas holiday. But we don't observe that. It's not a feast day that the Most High gave us to observe. We don't, definitely don't do Thanksgiving or Christmas. All right, so that being said, may have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads wherever you may be. If you're in Pal Talk, if you're in Blog Talk, if you are calling in on the 480 number, if you are in North America or South America, well, something else I did a couple of days back, I downloaded, I went out And I found a place that gave you like Happy Sabbath in all the languages of the world. And then I took that and I loaded it into, or created a file and loaded it into the program that I used to make the speech files. And I made a giant speech file, you know, of Happy Sabbath or Shabbat Shalom for all the languages of the world. I'm not sure I'm going to use it. I may load it on the website or I may do it, do something else with it, but I'll probably split it up. I just want to see, you know, if I could do it. And have it to work, and it, you know, it actually worked fine. It will say that, say Happy Sabbath or Sabbath Feast or really Shabbat Shalom in the different languages and tell you what language it is that it's saying it in. So I found that kind of interesting as well. But I will find, you know, some way to use it. I think there should be a way that I can tell what nation somebody is logging in or viewing the site from, and by their IP address, and it would just change to their language and just, you know, greet them in their language. But that would be, again, another little project, something to do. All right. That being said, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory, 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 glory to you, O Father. We magnify you and extol you on today, and we lift you up, for you are our Elohim. You are worthy of glory and honor and praise and majesty, O Father, and we will not hesitate to give it up to you, for you are worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. And I just thank you on today, Father. I thank you. Hallelujah. I just thank you for life on today. Hallelujah. Somebody didn't wake up today. Hallelujah. Somebody went into the hospital and don't know if they're coming out, Father. And I just thank you for life and health and strength on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins if we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us. For they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. And Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And Father, we ask that you would turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people, Israel. Hear our supplication and our prayers. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call him in Mashiach, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come in, and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Our scriptures for this evening, I think I'm going to go over these maybe next week or so, see if y'all want anything different. 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And if you would personalize it for yourselves, I'm going to personalize it as I read it. Because these scriptures, as I have said in the past, these scriptures are to remind us what our responsibilities are to the Most High, what he has called us to, what he wants from us, and where our mind should always be in relationship to him in our walk. And so I pray that you personalize these for yourself. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, where there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name, or had built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah thy Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
Thank you.
Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to get verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For Elohim is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Most High really wants to be at peace with his people. and he wants us to be at peace with him. And when we are not obeying his laws, when we don't understand that his laws were to give us order, they were to be a guide to us, they're a set of rules. As we study this on this evening, you'll find that from the old to the new, what they did in Torah was to give us distinction between his laws, the types of laws. And in the New Testament, it's just law in general. So it's a little bit different. But we're going to look at this thing this evening. The idea of law can be conjured up in one's mind. The concept of judgment, control, which inhabits our freedom or inhibits our freedom of expression and limits our creativity as individuals to cause unnecessary restraint and bondage. We usually have a negative view of law that, you know, in a way that, you know, somebody's trying to make us conform to something. Whether it's on the job, you know, the rules that you have when you go to a job, the expected behavior that you have. You know, we will comply with those more easy than we will with the rules of the Most High. Every organization has a set of rules, and you could call it their laws. And when you go to work for them, they expect you to follow them. The Most High is no different, but his are to govern our life. His are to tell us how, you know, we are to live. It is the nature of fallen man to question and rebel against set standards and not accept or believe that the stated consequences and results of breaking the rules will come upon us. Many of us, especially when we are younger, we don't believe that the rules apply to us. And if we do, then, you know, if it's something we want to do, we just say, well, you know, he's going to have to forgive me, but I'm about to do this thing. We don't believe that, you know, that the judgments are going to really come upon us. And so, you know, we might be more apt to go ahead and break a rule just to break it. And so when it comes to the Most High's laws, you know, when we know something is wrong, but we want to do it because it's tempting us, then we will usually, you know, go ahead and break that law, especially the younger that we are, because we feel like we are infallible. We feel like we are, we can't be, you know, nothing's going to happen to us. It really comes back to we have no fear. We don't fear the consequences. But, I feel like the older that you get, the older that we get, the more we realize that a day of reckoning is coming, whether the Most High comes back or whether we have to go to our grave. We're going to have to answer, you know, for our behavior sooner or later. And so this introduction to the law is for the new saint and the old saint, so that we get an understanding of just what the laws are really about, okay? So that the younger we are, I pray that if we have a better understanding, that we will be more apt not to break, not to be obstinate, that we will accept and believe rather than not accept and not believe, but that we will accept and believe the standards and not rebel against them, that the Most High has set. It is our nature to seek out our own knowledge through experience and to believe out of our experience of the resulting consequences. In other words, we will do something and we will, based upon the experience that we have, we'll believe that that is the way it is. So let's say that you stole something. You picked up something that wasn't yours. And you knew at the time that you were picking it up, you knew it wasn't yours. But you didn't get busted. Nobody caught you. And so you feel like the consequence is nobody's going to know. I took this. And the next time the opportunity comes up, you do it again. And the first time you do it, you might actually have some guilty feelings. But the more you do it, the more desensitized to it you become, to where you actually can start to enjoy doing it. What used to scare you or put some trepidation in you, now is exciting. And it can become habitual, where it's a habit. You know, you start stealing, and you don't need what you're stealing, but you can't help it. You just steal it. Just take it. And it's that way with all manner of sin. With all manner of sin. The more you do it, the more desensitized you become to it. And so, you know, especially if it's something pleasurable, then you're going to do it because it gives you pleasure. But all sin, what I'm finding or have learned over time, addictions, we do it because we receive some type of pleasure from it. Even the person that hurts themselves, you know, by cutting themselves, they get some type of relief or pleasure from cutting themselves. So they habitually cut themselves. Something in the pain they find pleasure in. And so this is our nature, to be this way. Rather than to trust and obey in Yah Elohim and what he has asked us to do from the beginning, even in the garden, we would rather go against what he wants, because it fulfills, you know, what we want individually. The definition of the law, and we're going to get this from the Oxford Dictionary. A dictionary definition says, a law is a rule established among a community and enjoining or prohibiting certain action. In other words, this is a rule that is either going to stop us from doing something or require us to do something. The system made up of these rules is controlling its controlling power, the order produced by it, its administration, etc. That is the definition in the Oxford Dictionary. So it's a set of rules that establish among a community. And it's either going to cause you to do something or prohibit you from certain action. And you accept that law. So we have the word defined as a rule or a set of rules which prescribe or prohibit our actions to conform to a certain order or a pattern of behavior. The law of Elohim has many aspects, and there are a variety of words used in the Hebrew text for the different categories within his law, which identifies their classifications. So we got law in general, but then in the Torah, the instructions, we have different classifications of laws that cover different categories of types of actions that are to govern, you know, our way of life and things like that. The word Torah in the Hebrew, it's the word for teaching and direction, to teach us the ways of the Most High, to give us the direction that he wants for our life. And one most used by laws and principles, which Yah Elohim has given to his people for their benefit. So he says we were to do these laws, the laws and the commandments that he gave us, we were to do them for our good. For our good. This is a different concept from the meaning which we normally attach to the word law and its penalty. The concept in Torah is, these are for your instruction. These are my principles for your benefit. But we will look at them as something that is constraining us. The other categories, for instance, are the judgment. In the Hebrew, the mishpatim, M-I-S-H-P-A-T-I-M, mishpatim, are the methods of administering justice in human affairs. One category, the judgment. The statute, the chukim, C-H-U-K-K-I-M, are the precepts or regulations for healthcare and hygiene, etc., the cleanliness laws, things that make you clean in the eyes of the Most High, things that make you unclean. The testimonies, Edot, E-D-O-T, are the earthly types that give witness to his plan and purposes, like the tabernacle and his feet that he gives us and tells us to observe and to learn of his ways, because it's telling us what he's doing and what he's going to do. Then we have the commands, or the commandments, are the mitzvah, are the ordinances and the commands related to the terms of the covenant, or the terms of the covenant. The word law is used in very general terms in the New Testament to cover a wide variety of meanings, unlike the Hebrew of the Old Testament, of Torah. The word in the Greek is nomos, N-O-M-O-S, nomos, which according to Vine's expository dictionary means to divide out. Primarily that which is assigned, hence usage, custom, or by statute. Nomos became the established name for the law as decreed by the state and set up as a standard for the administration of justice. So it is a way for them to divide out and meter justice. But it doesn't really go into the different categories, and it wasn't really designed for our good. In the New Testament, it's used in general, expressing a general principle relating to law. So the Torah is very specific concerning the law, and it goes into details. Whereas when we read the New Testament and we hear the word law, it's very generalized. It's just law. And so people will say, well, we're not up under the law. But that would mean they're not up under any law. And if the law was given to us for our own good and to set order amongst us and to bring us at peace with the Most High, then when we are not up under the law, that means that we really have no peace with him. We are his adversary because we are being disobedient. Young's analytic concordance gives the rendition of nomos as law, ordinance, custom. The term law then in the New Testament was used for every aspect of the body of the law, whereas the Old Testament we have several Hebrew words for our English law, which cover the varieties of the meanings from the law, statutes and the precepts to direct or teaching. The Greek and the English words don't classify them. So that's the difference in the law in the New Testament is very general. And in the Torah, it was very specific. Now, I will say this before we move on. Messiah came to give a classification, or not a classification, but a clarification of the meanings of the law and the intent of the law, because they had started using the law the way that it was used in the New Testament, even though it hadn't been written yet. Our forefathers were using it that way, and that's the reason why the New Testament is written the way that it is. And Messiah came to give us clarification that I want you to use the spirit, the intent of the law. not the letter of it. Because the letter will tell you, the letter of the law is you observe Passover on the evening of the 14th of Nisan, the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. That's very specific, and that's to the letter. And you have to keep it that way. But when it came to such thing as communion or his supper, he says, as often as you do this. So it's as you require it, not a specific time. It's the intent of it. Remember me. If you remember me twice a month or three times a month, as often as you do it, it doesn't put a time frame on it. So that is the difference between the letter and the spirit of the law. What is the intent of it? The intent of thou shalt not fornicate or commit adultery is that you don't be sleeping around, that you don't make that a lifestyle. And so Messiah said, hey, if you look at a person too long and you start to desire that in your heart you have already done it. Whether you physically did it or not, in your heart, it was in your heart to do it. And the only thing that didn't happen is the chance to do it didn't manifest. So I was looking at that woman, and boy, she looked good. And she was flaunting it too. And my mind went there, and I dwelt on it. And I started thinking about, I wonder how it would be to be with her. Well, now I want to be with her, and that's in my heart. But the physical opportunity never comes up. Most I says, yeah, but if it had, you'd have done it. That's the spirit of the law. The letter would say, you had to catch me. Two or three people had to catch me. But the spirit of the law, he said, no, what was in your heart? It was in your heart to do it. You are guilty of it. Because you would have done it had the opportunity present itself. Opportunity just didn't present itself, so there's no witnesses. But I know your heart, and I'm able to discern your thoughts and your heart. And that's how I'm going to judge you. I'm going to discern your thoughts and what the intent of your heart was. And that's how I'm going to judge you, by the spirit of the law. So before, you know, whether you stopped and helped someone or you just thought to help them, the Most High says, you know, or it was in your heart that if you could help, you would have. But you didn't have the means to do it, but it was in your heart to do it. That's the spirit of the law. And so when the church is, you know, saying that we're not up under the law, or anybody that says that, doesn't really understand the law or its intent. Doesn't understand the rules. And this is what the Most High wants to govern his people by. So the reasons for the law. The whole creation is established on a set of rules for its function. Government, social structures are based upon, agreed upon rules. Every place you go, there's rules. At the job, the rules that the government puts in place. You got to pay your taxes. You can't go over this speed limit. Whatever rules they put in place. If you join a club, then that club is going to have certain social rules that you got to follow. If you join sports, then the sport is going to have rules for the game. You know, you can't run down the field before the ball is hiked. You can't rush in and jump on the quarterback before the ball is hiked. You don't start running around the bases until you hit the baseball. And if you don't hit the ball between these two lines, you hit it outside these lines, it's a foul ball. Rules. And because, you know, we may enjoy those things, then we will learn and keep those rules because we enjoy them. But when it comes to things that are for our good in the eyes of the Most High, we seem to struggle with them because they're contrary to this flesh. The Most High's laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances are contrary to this flesh. He wants us to become spiritual beings. This is what you're going to become in the future. So you need to learn how to be a spiritual being. You need to learn how to operate in the spirit of a thing and not in the letter of the law. But the law is a guideline. If you break it, if you go outside the guideline, yes, you broke it. And there's a penalty. The same way with any government or organization. So we got to understand that the reasons for the law to set order. Sometimes those rules are informal, as an agreed upon code of ethics between its members. But just the same, any organized activity has to have rules of conduct for the participants and shared common goals. Without that, there is anarchy. There is confusion. There is chaos. If we don't have a set of accepted standards, a set of rules that we govern ourselves by, then everybody's doing their own thing, and it is anarchy. Because what may seem may be right to you may be wrong to someone else. And that's why we can't use our own standards, our own rules. We ought to go by the rules that the Most High created. He should be the standard because we individually might think, I might think that X is wrong and you might think X is okay. Or you might think X is wrong and I think X is okay. But we have a different set of standards for the same thing. But if we use the Most High as the standard and his rules, then that is what gives us commonality. And that is what will set us to have his standards. Rules set the standard for any activity as the guidelines upon which it is to function and define the activity. Those who desire to engage in the activity have to accept the rules. Want to play in a football game? You got to accept the rules of the game. Want to go to Las Vegas and gamble on the blackjack table or the poker table? You got to accept the rules of the game. So that the rules are not really the focus. We engage in activities because we enjoy and find fulfillment in those activities. And that's really what it's about. So it tells me when people don't want to keep the rules of the Most High, it's because they don't enjoy keeping them. Because anything that we enjoy doing, I don't care whether it's a sport or whether it is some type of social event, whether it's going out to the club, whatever rules they establish, we are willing to keep them because we enjoy that activity, okay? We engage in activity because we enjoy and find fulfillment in those activities and the achievement of the set purpose of the activity. So it is more about what our goal is than about what the rules are. And it comes down to the focus of our interest and how important it is for us to be involved in the activity or to achieve the set goal. So if we enjoy doing what it is or observing what it is or participating in whatever it is, the rules are just to govern ourselves, but we will learn the rules so that we are able to participate in it into whatever level we want to participate because we enjoy doing it. And so to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, you got to enjoy doing them. And that's the problem. Most people don't enjoy doing it. They are grievous to most people. Even when we say we love doing it, to most of us it's grievous. A participant who hasn't not a clear focus or enthusiasm for the goal may object to the rules of engagement. If you don't like doing something, let's say that it's fishing, and you don't like having to put the worm on the hook, or you don't like having to pull the fish in, or you don't like having to wait for the fish to bite, then you may not want to participate in that activity, and you may not want to follow the rules. You might throw it in and be like, you know, I can't sit here and wait all this time for something to bite, because you don't really enjoy it. And so you wouldn't be as, you know, enthusiastic about learning the rules and keeping them. Don't have a clear focus or enthusiasm for that goal of catching that fish. Or maybe it's hunting. Or maybe it's cleaning the house. Maybe it's, you know, writing a program or paying bills. Whatever it is, if you don't have the enthusiasm for it, then you're not going to do it with your whole heart, and you're not going to throw yourself into it and obey and learn all the rules for it. You're going to do it halfway. Yah runs everything by rules, too, and we know this. Yah's law, as recorded in the Bible, identifies the moral standards he wants humanity to live by. These are his rules that he wants us to live by, his law. If Yah's laws didn't exist, no one would know right from wrong. Each person would be what? Determining ourselves what's right and what's wrong, and that's the way the world was for a long time. See, the heathenistic world that didn't have the laws of the Most High, each nation was making up their own laws of what they felt like was right and wrong. This nation was actually created with that concept that everybody would be equal to the king because they didn't like the laws that the kings were making. And so we're going to be equal to the king, and we'll make our own laws. And we're going to be the highest thing in the pecking order. That's how this nation was formed. So they sort of, the Wild West was, you carried a gun, and if somebody disagreed with you, y'all could go outside and settle it. Might cost you your life if you didn't like the way somebody talked to you. Let me just shoot you. If they wanted what you had, let me just shoot you and take it. The Wild, Wild West. And so it was every man for himself, and every man was a law unto himself. But the Most High gave us laws that he said, these laws are my standards, and my standards are far above yours. So I want you to live by mine and not yours. So if Yah's laws didn't exist, we wouldn't know right from wrong, because he is the ultimate ruler. He has the right to set the standards and make the rules of engagement simply because of who he is. I created everything. I have the right to say how everything is supposed to behave. Even you, man, and I made you the God of this world. I gave you dominion over everything in this world, but I told you that you're going to go by my rules because I made you. And the truth of the matter is, we know from the scriptures that the Most High said man's thoughts were evil continually. He didn't want to do what was right. He wanted to do what was evil. He wanted to do what was wicked. That was his natural way. So we need the laws of the Most High. He has a right to give them to us. And he has the right to expect that we're going to obey them. simply because of who he is. Man in rebellion does not want to live by those rules that he has established. They want to make up their own because, you know, I stealing was pleasurable. I don't want a law to say that I can't steal. But then when somebody steals from me, I get mad. Maybe I make it out of game and say, oh, yeah, you got me. Wait till I get you next time. But the bottom line is, I don't want to stop doing it because it brings some type of pleasure to me. Get a kick out of it. And so the Most High says, but yeah, I said if you take them from somebody, it's wrong, and I don't want you doing it. So don't do it. These rules, these are rules or principles involved in having a relationship with Yah, our Elohim through Yeshua. Messiah was our example. All the time, y'all been looking at each other, wondering how you're supposed to act. Let me come and show you how I want you to behave. And you can live a life and not sin. That's what his example was to us. You can obey these rules and not break them, not transgress. That was his example. We are not to be following a set of rules, but a person with whom we desire to have a relationship. Think about that. When we make it about the rules, when we make it about the law, and not about the individual, do you want to have a relationship with the Most High? Do you want to walk with him in peace? Then this is what's required. These are the rules. Just like if you want to play in that football game or you want to play in that baseball game or whatever it is that you're into, then you got to go by the rules and you got to want to. So it should be about the relationship that we desire to have with the Most High and not about the laws. If we want an enjoyable relationship with him, then we will learn all about his laws. We'll learn about all the rules and what he requires. And we will do them with joy because we desire to have a joyful relationship with him. But when it's about us and about what we want, then we're not going to do that. It's going to become about us. It's going to be about us. The purpose is not going to be to achieve a good relationship with the Most High. The purpose is going to be to achieve whatever it is that we want. Anyone not interested in a closer relationship with Elohim, then his rules are a restrictive burden to follow. It's a matter of perspective. If you don't want to have a close relationship with the Most High, then his rules will seem restrictive to you. They will seem like a burden to you. Because he's not the focus. Being in a good relationship with him is not your focus. So why you don't want me to do this? And why I can't do that? And why does this make me unclean? And why I can't dress this way? Because he says so. And it's about the relationship with him. Nobody goes out on the field and say, how come I can't jump across the center and deck the quarterback before the ball is snapped? I love to catch him unaware and just hurt him. That's what's in my heart to do. I got to follow the rules of the game. Nobody's going to complain about that. I'm just going to try to get across there as fast as I can as soon as I see the ball snapped. That's the rule. But when it comes to the Most High, then most people won't think about it that way. they won't think about it that way. They will do what it is that they want to do because it's the relationship. It's about them and not him. That is the problem. And so we got to understand that these laws establish our relationship with him and the goal that we want to achieve. The goal is we want to be at peace with him. We want to be in a right relationship with him. And that should determine how we observe, how we do. When we don't want to keep his laws, when we don't want to be in a close relationship with him, when we feel like it's all about us, then keeping his laws, his rules may become, it may seem to some people, legalistic. Well, I got to keep the Sabbath day, and I can't cook on it, and I can't go to the store and buy things. I say, why are you doing all that? You're so legalistic. You're so, you know, all you are is legalistic, and that's the word they want to put on you. But the truth of the matter is, this is what it takes to make him happy. And if I want to be in a closer relationship with him, then I'm going to do those things that are going to make him happy. And I'm not going to think that it's legalistic. It is what's required. It's what I must do. And do it happily. So, you know, whereas someone who is passionate about knowing him in a deeper way, you're going to eagerly embrace the rules as a means to the end. I want a closer relationship with the Most High. I want to make it into his kingdom. If that's your heart, then you're going to keep his laws, his rules, eagerly, passionately. It's going to be all about it. It's not going to be a burden. You're going to find ways to improve how you keep them. If he calls for exactness and you know you're not exact, then you're going to find out what exactness is to him, what perfectness is to him, and you're going to become perfect in that way. Because it's about your desire. It's about the relationship. It's not about the laws, but the end goal. You know, the rules, when you're playing a game, once you know the rules, it's not about the rules. It's about achieving the goal of the game, whether it's winning the game or whatever, outscoring the opponent. It becomes about that. And you're looking for when somebody transgresses a rule because you know they're going to be penalized. But when it comes to the Most High, then, we are not of that same mindset. I'm not saying we, the world. There are rules or principles involved in having a relationship with Yah. He sets before us the goal of knowing him and having eternal life with him in the kingdom. In John chapter 17, verse 3. Let's get John chapter 17 and verse 3. Because this is what the laws are about. His expected behavior of us and what it's going to take for us to have a good relationship with him. It's like when you go into a relationship with you know, between a man and a woman. There's going to be some rules. There's going to be some requirements. There's going to be, you know, the person's going to have some things that they want that they say, this is what makes me happy. And if you want to make them happy, then you're going to do those things. And you're going to do them happily. If you're not going to do them happily, then you don't need to be with them because you're going to be unhappy trying to do what makes them happy. John chapter 17, let's get verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know that know thee, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom thou hast sent, that we might know him, know his way, know that he sent Messiah. The rules are a means to achieve the end purpose. The law is the means to achieve the end purpose, and not the end in itself. So, you know, I think this is a mentality that, you know, an unlawful person, that's the mentality they get, is that I'm gonna have to end up, I gotta keep all these rules, and that's what it is in their mind. The end is not that I'm gonna be at peace with the Most High, and I'm gonna be able to live forever, and I'm never gonna have, you know, I'm never gonna be sick, I'm never gonna die, I'm not gonna be in pain, I'm not gonna be suffering, I'm not gonna be hungry, I'm not gonna have to worry about the things and the cares of this world that I currently have. Not going to have to worry about if the bills can be paid. Not going to have to worry about if my son or my daughter are going to die, or when they're going to die, or what they're going to do. Once they achieve eternal life, those worries are over. My concern is that, hey, none of us don't get eternal life in the lake, but that we're at peace with the Most High. That's the end game. That is the goal. That is the purpose of the whole relationship. That's the reason to keep the law. To learn the law so that we learn how to please Him. Okay, so the rules are a means to achieve the end purpose and not the end in themselves. We are not following a set of rules, but a person with whom we desire to have a relationship, which relationship just happens to be governed and defined by a set of rules to achieve that purpose. Most I said, hey, these are my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my judgments, my ordinances, and that you should do them for your good. It ain't for my good, it's for your good. Because I am that I am. I am the way that I am, and I made you. And if you don't make me happy, it's not going to be well for you. It's not going to affect me if you don't do good. I was doing well before I ever created you. I'll be doing well long after you are gone if you don't please me. So it's not like he needs us. We need him. To anyone not interested in a closer relationship, let's keep going. What is Elohim's law? The scriptures are his rule book on how to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and how to love those around us. Excuse me, but I had to get that mosquito. He was bugging me. How to love those around us, our brothers, our sisters. The rules of the Most High instruct us on how to interact socially and morally with our neighbors, how to interact with our enemies, how to deal in business and with property, and contain the blueprint for every aspect of life in the kingdom of Elohim, and how to avoid the path which leads to everlasting or eternal death. How to avoid the path that leads to what? The lake of fire. Now, how, again, I don't understand how the church will think and interpret you're not up under the law, and that not have the understanding that if you obey the law, you're not subject to the law. You're not up under it. It's not a burden to you. It's just the way that you are. The Most High said, these things are right. These things are wrong. you make it a habit and your way to do right in his eyes. It just becomes the way that you are. So it shouldn't be a burden. When we study his rules and apply them to our lives, we will enter into a deeper measure of the covenant relationship with him. Let's go to John chapter 15. The book of John chapter 15. Get verse 21. John chapter 15, verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. When we want to be closer to him, and I think I put a wrong verse there. Just think of what, which one did I want there? I'll find the one that I wanted for there. I think I wrote down the wrong one. So when we study his laws, his rules, we get closer to him. And when we break his laws, we get further from him. His spirit withdraws from us. Now, and that's through disobedience. And he says disobedience. Being disobedient to his laws, to his rules. Let's get that so we have it. I need to remember what scripture I wanted to put in that place. Bugging me now. Hold on just a second. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to get verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When we are disobedient, we are rebellious. And he says to him, it's like we are doing witchcraft. And you know what he said about witches. He says, suffer not a witch. Put them to death. So if rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, when we are rebellious to the Most High, when we are disobedient to him, he says it calls for death. In his eyes, and stubbornness is as the iniquity, as iniquity. And idolatry. Stubbornness is like you are worshiping, is as bad as worshiping another god. When you are stubborn. Now this is what Samuel told Saul. Because he was rebellious. He didn't want to kill all the people, and he wanted to save the king alive, and then he wanted to say that people influenced him to, you know, keep the good sheep and the good cattle alive. And Samuel is talking on behalf of the Most High. Remember, that's what the prophet does. The prophet talks on behalf of the Most High. And the Most High was telling Saul, your rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And your stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That you are as though you were worshiping another god because you're not obeying me. you didn't obey me. And because thou hast rejected the word of Yah, and this is what we got to understand. When we are disobedient, when we are rebellious, it's because we have rejected the word of the Most High. We rejected that rule. In our mind, in our heart, we rejected it. Because we wanted to do something else. And it doesn't matter how we justify it. The end result is we didn't do what he said to do. And we can come up with any excuse that we want. Saul could have said, well, you know, Most High, I didn't think you meant that. And he kind of did say that. Because he sort of said, this is what happened. And so this is why I did what I did. And the Most High says, you rejected my word. He has also rejected thee from being king. He can also reject us as being his child. Oh, no, you ain't one of mine. You disobedient. You reject my word. You don't do what I tell you to do. You do what you want to do. And you lean to your own understanding. That's why a lot of us are not going to have anything that we can say to the Most High, because he's going to say, it was written. And you didn't do it. You rejected my word. I reject you. And it really is just that simple. His laws were given to us so that we would learn how to please him. How we could have a closer relationship with him. How we could stay in the contract, the covenant relationship with him. That's what it's all about. And every time we don't think that we have to keep a certain law, except for where he has said it, we're not to keep it. It no longer applies. Then we're supposed to keep it. And when we don't, the only way that he accepts that we don't is that we did it ignorantly. Because surely you're not going to disobey me knowing you're disobeying me. Surely you're not going to practice witchcraft knowingly. You're not going to be rebellious knowingly. That's the only way that he will forgive us. Most I honestly did not know that that was wrong. I didn't know. I see your heart. I see you didn't know. I am true and just to forgive you. You didn't violate that rule willfully. And you want to have a deeper relationship with me. You want to have a closer relationship with me. You don't want to transgress. Go to 1 John chapter 3. We don't want his spirit to withdraw from us like it withdrew from Saul. He left Saul. Saul felt so alone. He felt so alone, he went chasing after a witch and practiced witchcraft. Participated in it. 1 John chapter 3. Just looking at his law, the purpose of it. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to get verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of the rules. Breaking his law is sin. And this is what the average everyday Christian does not believe and follow. I love you, Jesus. I love the Most High. But don't love him enough to find out what his laws are. Don't love him enough to find out what's going to truly make him happy. They are in love with themselves and what makes them happy, what makes them feel comfortable. Because if the law requires them to come out of their comfort zone, they're not going to do it. And justify it. Sin separates from Elohim. Sin separates us from life. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to get verse 17. The book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is Elohim. But if you will enter into life, if you want to live, keep the commandments. Not say you don't have to keep them. Not change them to fit your situation. Not interpret them so that they work to your benefit. Do exactly what he said to do. How he said to do it. Then you shall enter into life. And you shall receive eternal life. See, what man doesn't recognize is that the law of Yah is perfect. It's perfect for converting souls. For changing you from something wicked into something good. The testimony of Yah is sure. His word is sure. His word can make a simple person wise. You know those people who think that they're smart and intelligent and know all this and all that? Somebody that truly knows the word of the Most High is wise, especially if they what? Do it. Because see, we're concerned about this world and we're concerned about the standards of this world. But the Most High said, I made the world and I'm giving you the standards that I want for the world. So do what I say do. Don't do what men say to do. Do what I say do. My thoughts are pure. My ways are right. My testimony is pure. You can stand on what I say. The statutes of Yah are right. If you do them, you will rejoice in your heart. Because you're not going to be doing anything that's going to make you wicked or unclean. the commandments of Yah is pure, enlightening the eyes. Go to Psalms 19. The book of Psalms, chapter 19. Get verses 7 and 8. Psalms 19, verses 7 and 8. The law of Yah, his rules, his standards, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, is perfect. When you come at it from that standpoint, then you know no matter what your thought about a certain thing is, it doesn't really matter because he's showing you what is perfect. And he's the one that defines what's perfect. So if it's not perfect in your eyes, just know that you're the one that's flawed, not him. Let Elohim be true and every man a liar, every woman a liar, every person a liar. His statutes are right. His law is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yah is sure, making the wise the simple. The statutes of Yah, verse 8, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yah is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's the frame of mind, the attitude you have to have with his law, with his statutes, with his commandments. And when you read something that doesn't sit right with your soul, tell your soul that it is the one that's got the problem and not him. I need to get this out of me. I need to come to the same understanding or the view that the Most High has on this. He's showing me the pure and the right way. But something in me don't agree with it. But understand that that's something in you that you need to change. Now understand, he gave these statutes, these laws, these commandments, these ordinances to Israel to teach the rest of the world. That's really what the priesthood is all about. Teach the rest of the world what the Elohim of the world requires. We're too busy trying to get along with the world. Too busy trying to not make people mad or unhappy or whatever because we don't want to tell them the truth. We don't want to start any conflict. But when it comes to their eternal soul, when it comes to where they're going to spend eternity at, then you are obligated to tell them. So at least they can never say they were never told. The rules were given to the nation of Israel, were given to our forefathers as the constitution of the nation. The United States has a constitution. By it, they base all of their laws off of the constitution. And if they make something that contradicts the constitution, then they will throw it up. Because these are our minimum standards. This is the standard which we want to govern ourselves. So we're not going to make a rule that breaks these. That's what the Most High gave to Israel, his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances as their constitution. They were to use it to make every decision in government. They were to use it to make every judicial decision. They were to use it in their religious life, every aspect of their life, even in their private lives. This was the standard that Israel was supposed to use, the standard that they're supposed to run their government by, the standard that they're supposed to treat the stranger by, the law that they were to apply to everyone, the rules. Time we're at 6:47. Let's see how much I have left here. When a nation is not established up under Elohim's laws, and the truth of the matter is, of the common laws that most nations have come from the Most High's laws. Thou shalt not kill or murder. Don't steal. In most countries, most, not all, it's against the law to have sex outside of marriage or to have sex with your sibling, to commit adultery. But the Most High says, you know, I want you to honor your father and your mother. I want you to treat your fellow man as you want to be treated. I don't want you looking at what somebody else has done and desiring what they have and then go do, kill them, take it, or steal it when they're not around. Don't covet what they have. I don't want you working 7 days a week. 6 days you can think about yourself, how you're going to make it in the world, but the Sabbath day, honor me in it. Remember what I've done. Remember what I'm going to do. Any of the nations that don't live by these laws, they create redundant laws. The Most High already said, don't commit adultery. The Most High already said, don't sleep with your brother or your sister, your blood brother and sister, your stepsister. Don't look at your aunt with crazy eyes and want to sleep with your aunt or your uncle. Don't let a mother and son get together or a father and daughter get together. So rather than making up their own laws, all they had to do was follow the laws of the Most High. He's already addressed all these things. But then, oh, well, wait a minute. You know, we need to define this word. That's when a man and a woman get together and have coitus this way. But if they do it this way, ain't nothing written about that. We're not going to include that, so that'll be legal. We're going to define it for ourselves, because this is what we want to do. So they're redundant. They're superfluous. I can never pronounce this word. S-U-P-E-R-F-L-U-S. Superfluous. You got it. And the reason that they are redundant is to us because they don't enforce it. Man can't really enforce who commits adultery. Man can't really enforce who fornicates. Got to be, you know, got to catch them. But the Most High says, I'm going to look at your heart. You're not getting away with nothing. So they write these laws for which they can't really enforce. And they want to maintain some sort of standard. So, you know, they'll make it against the law. And they'll give a slap on the wrist. Except for if you go to one of the Muslim nations and you do some of these things, it'll cost you your life. Society, if you get caught committing incest, it's not a death sentence. Go to Saudi Arabia or some of those other countries like that and get caught in the act of incest, it will cost you your life. Just what the scriptures call for, the death sentence. So man enforces his own standards. But if he enforced the standard of the Most High, we wouldn't have the issues that we have. But because men do these things, oh no, I don't want to be judged for that. I don't want to be judged for that. I didn't get caught. And I don't want nobody to judge me and kill me for something I didn't get caught for. You didn't catch me, so I'm innocent. Most guys says, no, hell you ain't. I know what you did. I'm going to call you to reckoning on it. Man thinks that the laws that the Most High put into place that he doesn't want to abide by, he just want to say that they've been done away with, but they haven't been done away with. Man thinks that he can govern himself better than the Most High, so he will make his own version of the same laws. Let's look at one of these. I'm just going to use a dietary law. And let me find this one. I didn't put this verse in here, but no, this is in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 66. And if you don't know that Isaiah 66 is future tense, not something that is past tense, it's future. Start in verse 15. Isaiah 66, starting in verse 15. For behold, Yah will come with fire. He hasn't come except for when he did, you know, in the past he came to Israel with fire. He came down in a pillar of fire to protect Israel, but he's going to come himself with fire in the future. And with his chariots like a whirlwind to render anger with fury, and his rebuke will with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yah plead with all flesh, not just with Israel. So we know this is future. For by fire and by his sword will Yah plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yah shall be many, that they sanctify themselves, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden, behind one tree, in the midst, eating swine's flesh. Most of us said swine's flesh was unclean, and we were not to eat it. All of a sudden, Messiah comes, and he forgives the sin, And he says, don't let any man judge you in meat or drink or observance of days, because you're supposed to be keeping those. But they read those scriptures the opposite, because they don't want to keep it and they want to keep doing what they were doing. So no, you can't judge me because I don't observe a feast day. You can't judge me because I don't observe a new moon. You can't judge me because I eat lion's flesh. But the Most High says, when I come back, I'm going to judge you for doing what I told you not to do, for eating swine's flesh and shrimp and any of those other things that he said not to eat, the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith Yah. Those that are eating that stuff, he says they're going to be consumed together. For I know their work and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, shall come and see my glory. So if it was wrong in the past, and it's going to be wrong in the future, what makes the world think that it's right, is good right now? It's not. But we're doing what we want to do. And that's just an example. We ain't up under the law. When he says don't judge, don't let anybody judge you for these things, because you get judged when you are guilty. You get judged when you are in transgression. Don't let anybody judge you for those things. They'll look like, you can't judge me. If I see you doing those things, I can judge you. And it will be a righteous judgment. Because I'm telling you to do right. Don't do it. I'm telling you how to stay in right relationship with your Elohim, with the Most High. I don't have to do that. Your eyes are letting you see that verse that way because that's what you want to do. Don't want to give up that pork chop. Don't want to give up that swine. Don't want to give up, you know, eating that lobster or that shrimp or that eel, or anything that the Most High says is an abomination. You got countries in this world where they eat spiders and bats and all this other kind of stuff, monkey brains, and, you know, these animals are unclean. I can eat anything I want. But the Most High said you can't. And he says when he comes back, he's going to judge and kill everybody that he finds that's doing those things or has done those things. So we will interpret his laws the way we want to, because we don't want to be up under them. They have not been done away with. They have not been changed. They have not been put on hold. Most of us says, I gave you grace, a grace period, because I didn't want to get you. I want you to have a chance and a space to repent. His laws are eternal and unchanging. Everything is going to be judged by his law. That is the plumb line against which everyone will be measured. Here is my laws. How do you measure up against them? Let me finish this up. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We read that all the time as part of our statement of faith. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. How well did you obey? What did you do that was on your own and that you knew was wrong? That's what you're going to be judged by, according to their work. I hope that this preview of the law, this introduction to the law, that is to establish a relationship with the Most High, that it is to determine how well you keep it, determines what your relationship is with him. He doesn't take transgression of it lightly. And because he has had mercy and because he has extended grace, people think that he has canceled out his law or he's put his law on hold. But he hasn't. Everything that we do and what we say is being recorded. And we'll be judged according to our works. I pray something was said in this introduction to the law that will help you in your walk. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, I pray that the people can hear and see that it is by your laws that you establish your relationship with us, by your laws that you expect us to behave in the relationship. And if we don't do it, you will leave us. You will walk away. Especially if we are doing it willfully. Father, give us a heart and a mind, the willpower, the desire to keep your laws, your rules, with our whole heart and with joy, that we might be close to you, that we might be in a deeper relationship with you, that we might understand you more perfectly and serve you more perfectly, that every day we do what we can do to get better, to become more perfect in your eyes, not more self-righteous, not thinking that we're all that in a bag of chips, not that we would become puffed up, but that we would remain meek and humble, knowing that is that what you desire of us. That we just becomes our ways that we are obedient to your word, to your will. And that we know that we are nothing without you. You are what makes us something. Being filled by your spirit is what makes us something. And the something that is something within us is you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. So I don't know where the Most High is going to take us in the morning, but we will have service in the morning. And, you know, I pray that it is what the Most High would have us to hear. His law is about our relationship with him. About the rules that he desires for us to have, and that we should love the rules because we love him. And we do it to make him happy and to be in a happy relationship with him. We don't look for ways to not be happy with him. We don't look for ways to make him unhappy. Because it's not a good thing for us when we make him unhappy. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, Remember, I love you. I really do. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments.
Just a man. pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Without you, there's no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Happy Sabbath. See you in the morning.
Shalom. Okay.